Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, which is Divinity and Divine Service, text number 7.
Vasudeve Bhagavati,
Vasudeve Bhagavati,
Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha,
Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha,
Janayatyashu Vairagyam,
Janayatyashu Vairagyam,
Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam,
Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam,
Vasudeve Bhagavati,
Bhakti Yoga
Prayojataha,
Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha,
Janayatyashu Vairagyam,
Janayatyashu Vairagyam,
Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam,
Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam,
Vasudeve Bhagavati,
Vasudeve Bhagavati,
Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha,
Janayatyashu
Vairagyam,
Janayatyashu Vairagyam,
Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam,
Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam,
Vasudeve Bhagavati,
Bhakti Yoga Prayojita,
Janayatyashu Vairagyam, Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam,
Vasudeve Bhagavati,
Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha, Janayatyashu Vairagyam, Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam, Vasudeve Bhagavati,
Bhakti Yoga Prayojita,
Janayatyashu Vairagyam, Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam.
Anybody else? Students?
Bhagavati,
Bhagavati,
Bhakti Yoga Prayojita,
Bhakti Yoga Prayojita,
Janayatyashu
Vairagyam,
Jnanam Cha
Yadahaitukam,
Vasudeve Bhagavati,
Vasudeve Bhagavati,
Bhakti
Yoga Prayojita,
Janayatyashu Vairagyam,
Janayatyashu Vairagyam,
Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam,
Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam,
Vasudeve Bhagavati,
Vasudeve Bhagavati,
Bhakti Yoga Prayojita,
Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Janayatyashu Vairagyam,
Jnanam Cha
Yadahaitukam.
Thank you, it was very nice. Word for word. Vasudeve, unto Krishna.
Bhagavati,
unto the personality of Godhead.
Bhakti Yoga,
contact of devotional service.
Prayojitaha,
being applied.
Janayati,
does produce.
Ashu,
very soon.
Vairagyam,
detachment.
Jnanam,
knowledge. cha, and yat,
that which,
ahaitukam, causeless. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Purport. Those who consider devotional service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna to be something like material emotional affairs may argue that in the revealed scriptures, sacrifice, charity, austerity, knowledge, mystic powers, and similar other processes of transcendental realization are recommended. According to them, bhakti, or the devotional service of the Lord, is meant for those who cannot perform the high-grade activities. Generally, it is said that the bhakti cult is meant for the shudras, vaishyas, and the less intelligent women class. But that is not the actual fact. The bhakti cult is the topmost of all transcendental activities, and therefore it is simultaneously sublime and easy. It is sublime for the pure devotees who are serious about getting in contact with the Supreme Lord, and it is easy for the neophytes who are just on the threshold of the house of bhakti. To achieve the contact of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is a great science, and it is open for all living beings, including the Shudras, Vaishyas, women, and even those lower than the low-born Shudras. So what to speak of the high-class men like the qualified Brahmanas and the great self-realized kings? The other high-grade activities designated as sacrifice, charity, austerity, etc. are all corollary factors following the pure and scientific bhakti cult. The principles of knowledge and detachment are two important factors on the path of transcendental realization. The whole spiritual process leads to perfect knowledge of everything material and spiritual, and the results of such perfect knowledge are that one becomes detached from material affection and becomes attached to spiritual activities. Becoming detached from material things does not mean becoming inert altogether, as men with a poor fund of knowledge think. Naishkarma means not undertaking activities that will produce good or bad effects. Negation does not mean negation of the positive. Negation of the non-essentials does not mean negation of the essential. Similarly, detachment from material forms does not mean nullifying the positive form. The bhakti cult is meant for realization of the positive form. When the positive form is realized, the negative forms are automatically eliminated. Therefore, with the development of the bhakti cult, with the application of positive service to the positive form, one naturally becomes detached from inferior things, and he becomes attached to superior things. Similarly, the bhakti cult, being the supermost occupation of the living being, leads him out of material sense enjoyment. That is the sign of a pure devotee. He is not a fool, nor is he engaged in the inferior energies, nor does he have material values. This is not possible by dry reasoning. It actually happens by the grace of the Almighty. In conclusion, one who is a pure devotee has all other good qualities, namely knowledge, detachment, etc. But one who has only knowledge or detachment is not necessarily well acquainted with the principles of the bhakti cult. Bhakti is the supermost occupation of the human being. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Agyantam Randasya Gyanam Jana Shalaka Chakshu Unmilitam Yas Chakshu Unmilitam Yana Tasmai Shri Guru Vinama Avancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha janayatyashu vairagyam jnanam cha yad ahaitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. This verse has always meant a lot to me. It's been very special. When I was a much younger man, the very first time I visited a Hare Krishna temple in Brisbane, Australia, a long way from here, young man of 19, walked into the temple, and there was a young bhakta there. He said to me, after a while, we were weeding the garden, doing something. He said, let's learn a verse. What does that mean? Learn a verse. So he pulled out Srimad Bhagavatam and went to this verse, and together we memorized the shloka. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janyatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahaitukam. The sages at Naimasharanya, they asked Srila Sutta Goswami a number of questions in the first chapter. And one of them was, please summarize to us in an easily understandable way, you know, what you have concluded to be the ultimate message, the real prime message of the Shastras, the Vedic scriptures. So Srila Sutta Goswami is now beginning to speak his realization. And he does so throughout this chapter, a very powerful chapter. I believe Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, this is one of the sections of Srimad Bhagavatam that it's very valuable to learn these verses. Because in this chapter, Srila Sutta Goswami summarizes the essence of all the Vedas. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is itself the essence. But in this one chapter, Srila Sutta Goswami is just summarizing everything so succinctly. So as we heard, first of all, he offered his respects to Sutta Goswami and Vyasadev, Nara Narayan, Sarasvati. And now he's beginning to explain to the sages what is the message of the Vedas. What actually is the message of the Vedas? As we know, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he talks about being distracted by the flowery language of the Vedas. Because within the Vedic scriptures, there's two paths are described. The path of increasing material prosperity and the path of becoming free from this world and ultimately going back to home, back to Godhead. The Pravritti Marga and the Nivritti Marga. So we're all in this world because we have this tendency, we think, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. So we hear the Vedas, and the Vedas are saying, if you do this, you can enjoy this. If you do that, you can enjoy that. If you do the other thing, you can enjoy that other thing. And because of this attachment to seeing ourselves as the enjoyer, that presentation is generally very attractive. Oh, I can go to the heavenly planets. I could live a life in a much nicer place than this, where the standard of sense enjoyment is 10 times greater, or in some places 100 times greater, or in other places 1,000 times greater, or in other places 1,000,000 times greater than we experience here. And most people get distracted by that. But Krishna says that's just the flowery language. It's all illusion. Because no matter which of these places we go to, from the very bottom of the universe to the very top of the universe, they're all temporary and they're all places of suffering. Because we are eternal and we do not fit in any place where there is a temporary arrangement. We will not be satisfied. So those who have an inkling of this, some understanding, they go towards the Nivritti Marga. How to become free from this material entanglement. So the sages of Naimasharanya, very elevated personalities, very brahminical, very much qualified by all the Vedic requirements of a brahmana, established in the mode of goodness. I believe Srila Prabhupada describes that they're a good example of those who come to bhakti through inquisitiveness. They were inquisitive to hear. As Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, four kinds of persons who begin devotional service: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. So these sages, they were inquisitive. They heard from Suta Goswami and they wanted to hear more. The inquisitive nature was there. So amongst the brahminical class and the sages and the munis, there's different philosophies and ideas about how to become free from entanglement. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned some of these here, that many sages and munis consider that to become free from material entanglement, we have to cultivate such activities, high-grade activities, Srila Prabhupada says, as sacrifice, charity, austerity, knowledge, and mystic powers. So Srila Suta Goswami is beginning to explain, actually, the supreme occupation for all humanity, not just these high-grade, but for everybody, is to render devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we render that devotional service without thinking, you know, of getting something from it, and without ceasing or breaking that devotional service by rendering it always, then we will be fully satisfied, because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. So it's natural for us. So there may be a doubt, but devotional service isn't enough. We need to cultivate knowledge. We need to practice these austerities and so that we become detached and renounced. So in this verse, Srila Suta Goswami is explaining that that's actually not the case. If we simply render pure devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, then all other things that are beneficial naturally become manifest. It is bhakti that is the ultimate activity. And anything else, like cultivation of knowledge or renunciation, they are secondary. And when we're established in bhakti, they automatically manifest. But if we try and cultivate the secondary as the primary, that does not necessarily lead one to bhakti. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives quite an elaborate description of these things in his Madhurya Kadambini. The independence of bhakti devi, devotional service, the devotion, service to Krishna, is not dependent upon any material conditions. We don't have to have a certain amount of knowledge to begin rendering devotional service. We don't have to have a certain amount of detachment to begin rendering devotional service. As Prabhupada says in the purport, devotional service is simultaneously sublime and easy. For the neophyte, it's easy. Whatever situation of life we are in, Prabhupada said, we just add Krishna. For the pure devotees who want to come in direct contact with Krishna, it's sublime. Sublime meaning the most perfect, the most direct way of experiencing the ultimate, you could say, relationship with the Supreme. So this is the glory of, it's not dependent upon anything material. And all other secondary positive goals that may be described all actually come as side benefits when one renders devotional service. That's why Srila Prabhupada says all of these other things, such as knowledge, its attachment, and so on, they're all corollary factors. Corollary. It just naturally follows on. As soon as we're established in a relationship with Sri Krishna in devotional service, knowledge will automatically manifest. And this is not some knowledge that leads to liberation, but knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of everything's relationship with Krishna. Generally, when we speak of trying to understand the different categories of knowledge, there's chit, achit, and ishvara. Chit meaning the spiritual, the living entity. Achit meaning matter. And ishvara, the supreme lord, the controller of both. So when one is established in a relationship of devotional service with the Supreme Personality of God, automatically everything is seen clearly. Such a person can distinguish what is spirit, what is matter, who is the controller of both, how the matter can be used in the service of the Supreme, and in this way regain a spiritual quality, how the living entity, though chit, has forgotten Krishna and turned away from him and therefore has become dull. Always conscious, but very dull. Not dull like matter, which is unconscious, but unable to really see what is going on behind matter. We see the world in front of us and all of the activities of the material world, but we're not in the conditioned state. We're unable to perceive that behind everything is Krishna. He is there. But due to our dullness, or as Prabhupada says, because we are rascal, we cannot see spirit. And Krishna wants to rectify this, so he kindly appears before us in a form that we can see, so we can serve him and see, yes, Krishna is a person. He appears in this form of Srimad Bhagavatam, so that we can daily hear about Krishna. Srila Sukadeva Goswami will go on to explain that if we daily hear this Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing about Krishna, then automatically the contamination within our heart, the lower modes of nature, they just fade away. They don't affect us. We become established in the mode of goodness. We become happy. And beyond that, continuing to hear about Krishna, which is the actual remedy for our material condition, become established in transcendental goodness and realize Krishna face to face as we can see each other. The stage of positive realization. Srila Prabhupada talks about this in the verse, positive. He mentions how there's, you know, material activities for good and bad results. The devotee is not interested. And then he talks about, but the positive activity. So this positive, there's material duality of good and bad. But when Srila Prabhupada is referring to devotional service as the positive activity to the positive personality, this is not a duality. This meaning of positive is in the sense of absolute. It's absolute activity for the absolute personality of Godhead. It's not a relative, it's not a conditioned activity. So this is the actual message of the Veda scriptures. Krishna says, by all the Vedas I am to be known. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence, the ripened fruit of the Vedas, because this point is brought out very clearly and obviously in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the other Vedic scriptures, the same point is there, that if we render devotional service to Krishna, our life is perfect, and if we do other than devotional service to Krishna, we are missing the point. The same point is there, but it's not so directly given. But Srimad Bhagavatam, it's direct and straightforward. And the Srimad Bhagavatam especially brings out this point that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, from the very beginning to the very end of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here in this verse, Vasudeve Bhagavati. So at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it was stated, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Srila Prabhupada said, this reference to Vasudev means Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can any of the students say why Vasudeva means Krishna? Does anybody? Yes?
Because he's the son of Vasudeva.
Excellent. Because he's the son of Vasudeva. So in this verse, Vasudeva Bhagavati, and the same phrase actually, Vasudeva Bhagavati, is used repeatedly throughout the Bhagavatam. There's a verse in the fourth canto, I believe it is, when Narada Muni is speaking, and he says, what does he say? Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Samahitaha. Very same. You know, same point is there. This is the authorized message. Faith means that we should understand that if I just do one thing, my life is perfect. And that one thing is rendered devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, for His pleasure. I would like to stop there if anyone has any questions or comments. Mr. Mataji?
Thank you very much, Prabhu. That last point was really amazing. Faith means just do one thing and your life will be perfect. Yeah. In this verse, by rendering devotional service unto Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment. It seems then knowledge and detachment are caused by devotional service. How is it causeless?
That's a really good question. If the knowledge and detachment are caused by devotional service, how are they causeless? I can only give my understanding. As Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur describes, devotional service itself is causeless. And he goes through an analysis, is it caused by this, is it caused by that, is it caused by karma yoga, caused by jnana yoga, caused by knowledge? No. The cause of devotional service is devotional service. It's not even that we should think that Krishna has caused someone to render devotional service. The devotee who preaches and brings people to devotional service, he's causing them to, or she's causing them to render devotional service, to begin the path of bhakti. But what's the cause that made the devotee do that is devotional service within their heart. So bhakti impels the preacher to inspire devotional service in someone else. So bhakti is causing bhakti. There's no other cause for bhakti outside of devotional service itself. And because these corollary factors of jnana and vairagya are springing from the causeless bhakti, they are also causeless when produced from devotional service. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also explains that the word hetu can be understood to mean a purpose for doing something. And in such as jnanam ahaitukam means it's knowledge that has no goal of liberation. So that's also another way to understand it. This knowledge isn't something that impels you for something else. And this detachment isn't something that impels you for something else. It's simply a natural feature that manifests. If I'm totally attached to Krishna, then automatically I'm not interested in anything else. So that's a causeless detachment. Is that okay? Yes, Virgil.
I remember thinking about that also, and I was noticing that it seems like it's within a different context, but you could say it's love. Love is causeless. It doesn't have a reason that you're doing it. But in the context of a material, you say, well, it's not caused by something else. But it's the, as you're pointing out, the natural situation of love. And so I kind of grouped it as causeless knowledge, that the knowledge is love, so it doesn't have a reason for you to do it. It's not knowledge that has a reason. it's now it doesn't have a reason.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you for your very, very nice class. Andadup's an old friend, known for... You were here about 10 years ago in Alachua?
15, probably.
15, was it? Okay, yeah, I think it was... anyway.
I first came in 2001 for
okay, so don't
child
wait,
protection
training. Don't wait 15 years to come back again. Okay. Anyway, I also feel this is such an important verse, and you know, I've always really, really liked thinking about it. This idea of detachment or vairagya, sometimes we see devotees taking on different austerities, even like during the month of Kartik, sometimes people take on different austerities. I'm only going to eat this or eat that, or I'm only going to, you know, eat with one hand tied behind my back, you know, on the full moon, you know, all sorts of different things. So I've always wondered, is that really valuable, keeping this verse in mind? In other words, are those... Anyway, maybe you see where I'm going with this.
Yes. Depends on... Personally, I don't see any... I don't have the ability to discriminate on things based on the external, whether it's good or bad. But what we should look at is the internal. What is the purpose of the devotees taking this vrata? If the purpose is to please Krishna, it's a good thing. If the purpose is something other than Krishna, this is to please you, then it might be something other than a good thing. Okay? Regarding austerity, I mean, one way of looking at austerity is our austerity is simply following our prescribed duties without deviating from them. And actually doing that over a long period of time, as in a whole lifetime, that's austerity enough for most people. Simply sticking to what is our prescribed duty. If we can do more, great. But for me, that's enough. I hope that's okay.
Thank you.
Anything else?
It was describing pure devotional service. So one could argue that, well, I'm not practicing pure devotional service, therefore I need all these other things, austerities and, you know, all these other processes that will eventually help me to come to the pure stage of bhakti.
Yes, it could be argued that. That's true. But that was the point, one of the points of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's explanation, that these other things don't lead to pure devotion. We may think that they do, but actually what leads to pure devotion, what leads to bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, is sadhana bhakti. And by practicing sadhana bhakti, in the beginning, we're all impure. That's the situation. We're becoming from being materialistic rascals, and we're practicing sadhana bhakti, regulated devotional service, you know, beginning with faith and extending through, you know, sarusanga, you know, bhajana kriya, anatta nivritti, and so on. And gradually, in this process, becoming free from the anarthas that are within the heart that are impeding the natural outflow of pure devotional service. Because pure devotional service is natural for every living entity. Prabhupada describes in Nectar Devotion that it's like a child is born, they can't walk. It's a great analogy. But the walking ability is inherent within the baby. And all that's needed is some practice and it will come out. Of course, in the beginning, they'll stumble, they'll fall, they'll hurt themselves. But just by the practicing of walking itself, walking will become, they'll become expert at it. Similarly, by the practice of sadhana bhakti, regulated devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, following the principles given in the shastras for devotional service, all of these impediments are removed and pure devotional service and ultimately love for Krishna, which is natural for the living entity, manifests. So I hope that's okay.
All right, this is my chance to get in trouble. But
Well, I guess the original question, I don't know if I caught all the back and forth, but something about bhakti causing bhakti and nothing else. And I mean, I think it, well, one way to look at it is just criticizing me. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so bhakti is not is independent. It doesn't depend on material causation. You know, so it's you know, bhakti causes bhakti. It's just based on love, the loving exchanges. You know, it's not based on conditional situations or whatever. Just it's like we're like the Brahmins, the devotees, are only dependent on Krishna. So bhakti is only dependent on Krishna. You know, Rasa, Yana world. All right, what do you think of that, Prabhu?
Okay, thank you. Is there anything further? Ask Guruji.
I know you're going to talk about the conference tonight, but could you say something about, you know, the weekend that you had just had?
The meeting we just had was Vedic cosmography workshop. And we discussed the various approaches that have been used within ISKCON and even outside of ISKCON that we know of for explaining the Puranic and particularly the fifth canto Bhagavad cosmology. So all the different models and attempts at explaining Bhagavatam cosmology that we are aware of were presented and discussed. Just looking at the at our activity of the TOVP within the historical context of everything that's been attempted to explain Bhagavatam cosmology. Is that okay? That's what we did. And it was very nice.
What else?
No, we didn't.
I'm just wondering, was did you come to any conclusion? I'm sure there were different people had different ideas.
Yes, there are different ideas, and we do have some conclusions how to move forward. You see, in the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium, as you all know, there's it's a beautiful building with three domes. The central dome being the main temple room with the altars of Panchatattva in the middle, Radha Madhava and the Astasakhi on the right as you're facing them, and the Guru Parampara from the six Goswamis down to Srila Prabhupada on the left. And then above, hanging from the apex, inner apex of the dome, is the planetary display of what's described in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's one presentation of the cosmology that will be given in the TOVP. But also on the in the west wing, under the western dome, is the Vedic Science Center, where there'll be three floors of exhibits and a dome theater. And what we're looking at now is, well, in there there'll be explanations of what's in the main dome presentation, but also what we're discussing and trying to move towards is what other explanations of Bhagavatam cosmology should be presented there. So as an outcome from this, at least from my understanding, from this meeting we've just had, it's moving towards looking at, you know, presenting what different devotees feel should be shown to the public in this Vedic Science Center. And that is a different, not different, but a restricted audience. The main dome, everyone goes to the temple, they can see the Vedic Science Center, there's a paid admission, you know, we'll take tour groups and so on. I hope that's okay. Thank you very much. It's a great honor to be here and speaking Bhagavatam to all. Srila Prabhupada, Kijai. Gaurav Vimalam.